Oliver Wendell Holmes admonished Christians in these words: "Don't be so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good. Don't be so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good." And coming as it does from Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes of blessed memory, a Boston-based physician and poet and polymath, many of whose works were published in the Atlantic Monthly, which he co-founded and named, who taught medicine at Dartmouth and Harvard, who coined the phrase anesthesia, or coined the word anesthesia and the phrase Boston Brahmin, who penned a poem about our church, a poem entitled The Brave Old South. As the admonishment arises from the brilliant Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, it is worth paying some attention to, worth pondering, worth our most serious consideration. Don't be so heavenly minded, Christian, as to be of no earthly good. In the Christian season of Advent, the admonishment is especially pertinent as we oftentimes find ourselves looking up, peering into the heavens, what with the stars and angels singing and dancing over the Savior's impending birth, what with the wise men, the Magi, looking up, tripping over stones as they chase the star, what with the heavenly host lighting up the sky with trumpets blasting and harps a-strumming in celebration of the Christ child. But while Oliver Wendell Holmes yanks our gazes back here, jerks our eyes earthward, planetward, don't be so heavenly minded, Christians, as to be of no earthly good. And isn't that what God is doing too in Advent, in slipping into human flesh, donning mortality and materiality, and settling in here on earth among us, one of us? Isn't God calling us from our heavenly reveries to that which is material and mortal? And isn't that, after all, the very purpose of the Christmas story, to admonish us, stop looking off up into the heavens, beyond the clouds, to what might or might not be of eternity and mystery, heaven, eternal bliss, or whatever finally awaits us, is not primarily what God calls us to, is not what God sends his child to. No. God sent Jesus to a planet slowly turning in the cold dark of space, a planet tethered to a particular sun, bound to a certain moon, a planet with atmosphere and gravity, lithosphere and hydrosphere, ocean tide and tectonic plates, this blue and green and marbled orb, tilted and rotating and rife with life, resplendent, radiant, and oozing with life. God sent Jesus to earth, and the truth is, the confession we need to confess is, that earth troubles and travails, earth's imperiled status, its plight and its predicament can be laid, must be laid at our feet, by which I mean at the very feet of Western Christianity. For the hard truth is that Western Christianity is guilty of a terrible, catastrophic theological heresy, a biblical heresy, a sacrilege born of human hubris, pride, and vanity. What sacrilege? What heresy? This. The belief, the boast, that we humans, the two-legged ones, we Homo sapiens, are more important to God than all the rest of what God has made. The belief, the heresy, the boast, and the vanity, taught and passed down from generation to generation, that all the rest of what God has made, rainforest and mountain, elephant and dung beetle, ocean and river, soaring eagle and busy bee, that these are merely for our disposal, our employment or enjoyment, our utilization or exploitation, that nature, that earth, is just for us, as a toy for a child, that it is not in and of itself cherished, beloved, worthy, and sacred. The belief, the heresy, the boast, the vanity, that despite Copernicus, all the cosmos revolves around our little globe, and this, that despite Darwin, we are not in our heart of hearts part of the natural process. We are above it. We are superior to nature. The belief, the heresy, the boast, the vanity, that earth's offerings, offerings of mineral, plant, and animal, offerings of beauty and sustenance, are all and only for the benefit of one animal. The one animal, the only animal, by the way, for which God was forced to provide laws. Because this animal, humans, Homo sapiens, that is, the ones with the very large brains, this animal, unlike, by the way, the lion or the shark, this animal kills more than it needs to survive. Kills wantonly, murders wantonly, pillages entire ecosystem systems, not for need, not for necessity, for the joy of it, the delight of it, the heady adrenaline of it, for the satisfactions of wealth and power, for the pleasure of dominion and the pleasure of domination. This animal alone is capable of rapacious destruction of that which God loved into being. I started with Oliver Wendell Holmes because somehow we've gotten ourselves crosswise with our own scriptures. And I'm hoping that Oliver Wendell Holmes, that his wise, pithy, spot-on admonition, "Don't be so heavenly-minded, Christian, as to be of no earthly good," might penetrate our extra-large brains in a way that our holy scriptures have not. In the season of Advent, the Church tells and cherishes the story of God coming to earth, to this planet, as an infant, holy and innocent, tender and precious. And the earth and the creatures of the earth, they receive the child, shelter and celebrate him. It is therefore meet and right and our bounden duty, for God's sake, for Christ's sake, for the holy child's sake, to take our gaze off of heavenly things and plant them here, to look upon the wreck we have made of the earth, and then to do what Christians are trained and taught to do: confess, repent, and turn from our wicked ways. Here goes. As a practitioner of Western Christianity, I confess that atmospheric carbon dioxide has risen to insupportable levels. I confess that the Earth's average surface temperature has risen about 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the late 19th century, that God's glaciers are in catastrophic retreat, and God's icebergs are melting, and God's seas are rising. I confess the acidification of our oceans, and that my species is raising rainforests and disappearing whole species and endangering others. I confess that God's good earth, this precious marbled orb, is being convulsed by extreme weather events, earthquake and fire, hurricane and tsunami. I confess and acknowledge that Western Christianity bears more than its share of the blame and the shame of the state of things, that Western Christianity has promoted a dualism between the realm of history and the realm of nature, has promoted, has posited the position that the realm of history is more important and more sublime, that history is the real stage upon which God and humans live and work out our salvation, and that the realm of nature is subservient to the realm of history, beneath it, less sublime, that nature is, as it were, merely the floorboards, the stage upon which we play out our grand parts. I confess that as Western Christianity scoffed at paganism and ridiculed animism, it robbed plants and animals of divine favor. Now, confession is one thing, repentance and atonement altogether another. On the very eve of the Holy Child's impending birth, of his coming to earth, what then is a Christian to do? Don't be so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good. Regard the earth as a patient in need of healing, in need of attention, of care, diagnosis, treatment, recuperation, and rest. Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes widely promoted the use of the stethoscope in diagnosis, a means of listening in, deep listening to the inside of a person. Might you and I, train ourselves, apply ourselves, concern ourselves with listening in to the insides of the earth, to its beating and pulsing, its breathing and heaving, its convulsing and shuddering, its quaking and fracking. Might we change our ways, you and I, live with an attentive kindness towards the earth and its creatures. Might we become followers and devotees of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis believed in the virtue of humility, not just for individual humans, but for humanity as a species. Francis believed in the democracy of all God's creatures, a democracy between and among brother ant and sister fire, brother sun and sister moon, mother earth and brother man. Francis was a radical follower of Jesus, and it was his intention to depose humankind from its monarchy over all creation. In his view, all created things, animate and inanimate, are designed for the glorification of God, who in the ultimate gesture of cosmic humility assumed flesh, lay in a manger, and finally hung dying on a scaffold. And what else is a Christian to do? Well, Old South Church, it is in our DNA to raise a ruckus, to raise our voices, to speak up and to speak out. For nearly 350 years, this church has found its voice on behalf of the voiceless. We have spoken up for the oppressed and the marginalized, for women and enslaved persons, for LGBT folk and the imprisoned, for the refugee and the homeless, for the immigrant and the indigent. It is time, high time, we find our voices for God's good earth, whose only way of voicing its pain is in the convulsions of earthquake and hurricane. Earlier, I noted a poem about us by Oliver Wendell Holmes, The Brave Old South. But there is another poem that speaks to us today, now, a poem by John Greenleaf Whittier. Listen.
So long as Boston shall be, and her bay tides rise and fall, shall freedom stand in the Old South Church and plead for the rights of all.
Once again.
So long as Boston shall be, and her bay tides rise and fall, shall freedom stand in the Old South Church and plead for the rights of all.
And plead for the rights of all. Plead for the rights of Brother Polar Bear and Sister Penguin, for the rights of Sister Water and Mother Earth. I have to imagine it would warm our Savior's heart. I imagine it would do Jesus good. I imagine we could give God the greatest Christmas gift ever, were we to heed the pithy admonition of a brilliant poet, "Don't be so heavenly minded, Christians, as to be of no earthly good." The earth needs us, desperately, urgently. The earth that God loved into being needs us, all of us, our confession and our repentance, our actions and our interventions, and not least, our own restraint. In this holy season of Advent, as we prepare our hearts and homes for the coming of Jesus, for God's sake, for Christ's sake, don't be so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly good.